When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm walking here along the bed of the Royal Canal in County Longford, at a point where 30 years ago I would have been up to my neck in water, but nowadays I'm up to my neck in water plants. There's flag irises, reeds, horsetails, bog bean, and all the kinds of plants that you'd expect to find in a natural wetland, a bog, or a marshland. I have ahead of me a journey. It's probably going to take me about 3 days, and the journey is to follow the Royal Canal from Longford, where it joins the Shannon, to Dublin, to its junction with the River Liffey. It's a journey not just through space but through time, because we'll be travelling from the disused section of the canal to the restored area closer to Dublin, and using different forms of transport, from the two size 10 Wellington boots which I have at present, to a bicycle, to a train, and onto a boat for the final stretch into Dublin. It's a journey I've wanted to do for many years. It's going to be interesting, and I'm going to meet lots of interesting people along the way, so I better get going. In a book published in 1966, Ruth Delaney wrote that the Royal Canal was a waterway which never really justified its existence, but which was a wonderful feat of engineering. Dr. Ian Bath is founder of the Royal Canal Amenity Group, and I'm delighted that he's been able to join me here on the canal bank today. Dr. Bath, can you tell me what you feel about this comment?
Well, whereas the canal certainly wasn't a commercial success, we have been left a heritage of what we, I suppose, is best called industrial archaeology, in the way of 90 miles of waterway between Dublin and the Shannon. And I feel it has enormous potential for amenity purposes in the years to come. Now, at the moment, the canal has been restored, some 40 to 50 miles restored between Blanchardstown and Mullingar. And this was done primarily as a result of the formation in 1974 of the Royal Canal Amenity Group. And the work of this group, which began in rather a small way in the Dublin area, spread in both directions along the canal, from westwards from Castleknock into County Kildare and eastwards into the city. Now, the western end of the canal is a rather different situation, in that it was dewatered in 1960-61, and the canal is in a very poor condition.
Do you see this as having tremendous potential, the canal, in future years?
Oh, certainly, because we are all spending more time on leisure activities. And the canal, once restored from Dublin to the Shannon, will, in fact, make it possible for people to travel in a complete circle, leaving Dublin, say, on the Royal Canal, entering the Shannon at Tarmanbarry, going down the Shannon as far as Shannon Harbour in County Offaly, and returning along the Grand Canal to Dublin.
Well, let's hope one day we see the grand plan realised, the circular route through the canals and the Shannon. It'll be a wonderful experience, I think. But today we're still faced with a struggle along some parts of the western end of the Royal Canal.
Yes, I think it'll be a few years yet, unfortunately, but depending on the availability of funds, it shouldn't be more than 5 years to 10 years, I would say.
Well, thank goodness for that. I've finally got out of the bed of the canal, and here at Ballybrannigan Harbour, quite close to Ballymahon, I'm on quite a good piece of towpath. It's not surfaced, but it's good enough to walk on, and it gives a much better view along the whole canal. This is a different stretch really altogether. The trees are back on either side of the towpath. The bed of the canal is still filled with water plants, and this is one of the things that interests me as a naturalist, in that we have 30 years of colonization of this waterway by native plants. Many of these have actually traveled along the canal, being carried by the boats or even by the horses, by the feed perhaps that the horses were fed on, and have colonized this waterway across the Midlands of Ireland. It's fascinating to any naturalist really to look at the development of a waterway like this, but particularly somebody like myself who's interested in the native Irish flora and fauna, because here we have not just the wildflowers but all the insects which feed on them. Things like the common blue butterfly. It's very typical butterfly of limestone grassland. I must have walked best part of 20 miles at this stage. I think I'm beginning to feel the effects in my legs. So very soon I'm going to start looking for some place to stay tonight. Day two, and I spent a very comfortable night in an inn in Abbey Shrule, County Longford, overlooking the canal, in much the same way as I guess many of the early travellers on the canal must have done. This morning, I've taken to a new mode of transport, which is a mountain bike, specially built for rough country. But here the canal towpath has improved beyond measure from yesterday's conditions. It's really like cycling over a grassy field, but fairly bumpy in places, so it's necessary to have a good strong bike. So I'm going to get going this morning fairly fast, I hope. The bike is special in another way because I have the tape recorder in the pannier bag and a microphone strapped to the handlebars, wrapped around with one of my socks, to try and cut down the noise of the wind, so I hope that it's recording sufficiently. This is a lovely stretch of the canal because the main difference here is that there's plenty of open water, and this is very suitable for many of the water birds. Moorhens, for example, are nesting along here. They use the branches of the overhanging white thorns and ash trees, which in some cases are actually lying in the water, and I've just seen a pair feeding their young underneath the branches of a tree. It's a beautiful morning, hot sun on my face, and my legs are feeling fairly sunburned from yesterday's walk, but that shouldn't slow me up. There are insects all around me. The temperature must be well up into the 20s with grasshoppers buzzing away and bumblebees in all the flowers. So it's absolutely idyllic. It's just the place to be on a summer's morning. Making good progress now. I'm probably travelling at about 5 miles an hour. No way of measuring it. But I can imagine the passenger boats on the canal perhaps 150 years ago with two horses galloping along. Up to 10 miles an hour they would travel. And the passengers seated evenly on either side of the boat to try and balance the weight and keep it from tipping over. There's a herd of cattle here and a donkey grazing with them, but still maintaining the beautiful wildflowers of this meadow bank. And a pair of herons just taken off ahead of me. They're feeding along the shallow sides of the canal, waiting for eels and small fish to swim within reach. This is an ideal place for fishing. I haven't met any fishermen yet, but I imagine I will soon. There's plenty of water weed. The canal has not been recently dredged. And so there's plenty of food for fish like roach and tench, bream and eels. I expect this is the section of the canal which actually was finally finished in about 1817. And as Dr. Ian Bath told me yesterday, it was the last 30 miles was actually finished in a period of 3 years, which was pretty good going compared to the previous 60 miles, which had taken something in the region of 20 years. Further west, I'm expecting to meet a couple of botanists who are studying the wildflowers along the bank, so I'm looking forward to meeting them. But in the meanwhile, the pathway is fairly rough here, and I've just reached a stone standing on the side of the bank. I'll just hop off and have a look at it. It's a milestone, and it has the numbers 57 marked on it, so I guess that's 57 miles left to go to Dublin. So I've still about two-thirds of the journey to do, but things are looking good and making good progress, so I'll keep going. I've just come upon a group of people here catching fish in the Royal Canal, and they're using some unusual methods here. The fish have been taken out and put in big bins in the back of a truck, and they're now examining the fish. So I'll have a word here with Kate Monaghan of the Central Fisheries Board. Perhaps she can tell me what you're doing.
Well, at present today we are fishing in Ballinay, which is outside Mullingar. We are using electric current to stun the fish. Why we're doing this is because we want to estimate the stock population of fish in this section. It is renowned as a good fishing area. So, we, as you can see from the bin of fish, we've got some fine perch up to 2 pounds and some lovely tench. We've also pike and rudd.
Right. Okay, let's have a look at what you've got.
Tench.
That's a male tench.
Right, and how would you describe a tench? How do you identify
it's
a tench?
It's a big, heavy, muscly fish.
Dark and coloured.
Olive coloured.
Mm. Big,
very
big
slimy.
Fins. Yeah.
Very big fins. And the male has this large spoon fin on the pelvic area here. See
right.
The spoons
underneath.
On it.
Yeah.
And very strong, very great fish.
Typical freshwater fish, is it?
Not very common in Ireland. It's an introduced species. It needs warm water to breed to spawn.
Is that a popular one with fishermen?
Oh yeah, a very popular fish. Mm.
They love to catch this fish here.
Because it's a great fighter.
Good solid
fish.
Coarse
fish.
Yeah.
Anything very else? Strong, very strong.
Anything else in there?
There's a nice rod here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really attractive, isn't it?
The golden colour.
Yeah.
The lovely red fins.
Yeah. It's
and the large scales.
It's more graceful looking fish, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's a lovely fish.
Not half as muscly as the tench, the previous one.
A fine perch.
And you see the large. He has
red fins again.
Yeah, but then he has these large dorsal fins
up on the back. Yeah.
And they're quite nasty if you get pronged on them. And he also has a spine.
Big mouth, doesn't he?
Yeah,
big.
And a spine and his operculum here.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
That's a fine size fish for the canal.
It's a big perch.
Yeah.
A big
how long would you say that is?
He's 36 centimetres and a half, about 36 and a half centimetres, and he weighs, is it 0?
Yeah, 30 centimetres is about a foot long.
No, 36 and a half.
Yeah, it's over a foot long then, yeah. Just weighing him in.
850 grams.
Grams. 850
will
grams.
Take
nearly
it,
2 pounds.
2 pound weight.
Yeah.
Are they ready to go back now?
Yeah, let's leave another
thing. Anything else? Hi.
Hello.
You must be the botanist. I'm Richard Nairn.
Bridget Johnston.
Mary Drummy.
Great. How are you doing? Are you finding anything interesting along here?
All sorts of interesting things. At this point here, the canal is looking like what a canal ought to look like. You've got the clear water in the middle, and then the floating plants, the floating pondweed, and the yellow water lily there, the big lily pads that you expect to see a frog sitting on. And as you come in then to the reed fringe, you have what looks like one type of big grass. And in fact, you've got a number of different types in there. A lot of flowers growing in it as well. That big one there that looks like a buttercup is in fact the greater spearwort. In some places you get marsh orchids along the edge there. And as you move further up the bank, as it becomes drier, you have a different type of plant again. The iris, familiar one that everybody would recognise. Meadow sweet with the white fluffy flowers. Wild valerian, all the different colours along the top.
It's really beautiful. Mary, what about the towpath itself? Is it interesting?
In this particular section, very interesting. We're on a limestone embankment, and there's a terrific display of colour. There's the white from the yarrow, that plant there as an umbrella, looks like an umbrella at the top. And there's the lovely tall yellow bedstraw there, lovely little delicate-looking plant, used to be used long ago to scent mattresses. And just down here is the pink, purply pink pyramidal orchid, quite rare in the country, but not, you know, typical but of the limestone embankment that we're on. And there's also the lovely tall purple scabious plant, lovely for butterflies at this time of the year.
Bridget, do you see this as being very special sort of habitat in national way?
It is special because the grasslands along the canal banks are one of the few examples left of an unimproved natural grassland. You're getting the same sort of species as you used to get in an old-fashioned hay meadow, which is something you don't find anymore.
And do you think that we have possibilities for protecting the range of flora here, even within the restoration of the canal?
Well, this is in fact what we're doing. We're making species lists. We're looking at what is present along the canal, which will then be used to develop a sort of conservation plan to be used as the canal is restored back to use again.
Well, best of luck with your studies. I'm heading off for Mullingar now, so I'll leave you to it and I'll see you again sometime.
Bye.
Cheerio. Hello.
No.
I've just met some more cyclists. What are your names?
Mary.
Mark.
Patrick.
Oh, great. And what school are you? Do you go to one of the local schools here?
Oh, yeah. It's just on the road there.
What's
the
name?
St. Kenny School.
Ah, right. And do you live quite close by the canal?
Yeah, I just live down the road.
Right. Do you come down here quite a bit to the canal?
Not much, really.
Sometimes when the weather's good, like it is today.
Yeah.
Right. And tell me, Mary, have you ever seen any butterflies along the canal?
Yeah, I saw the meadow brown.
That's one of the common ones, isn't it? It sort of flies around the grass and feeds on some of the wild flowers.
Yeah.
But did you see any others?
The common blue.
Right. Can you remember that one? It's a nice little small blue one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, can we see any insects today on the canal? Because it's just the type of weather which butterflies and dragonflies like. It's nice and calm, and there's nice plenty of sun.
There's a butterfly back there.
Is there? Oh yeah, what type is that? See it?
I think that's the small white, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the white butterflies. There's several different white butterflies, aren't there?
Yes, there's a large white, small white, wood white, green veined white.
Right, yeah. And in fact, the orange tip, do you see the orange tip on there? That's a white as well, but it just has some orange on the tips. In fact, that's quite common here in the early part of the year, when in May, when you're still at school studying hard, the butterflies are out here feeding on some of the early flowers, like the lady's smock, which grows along the edge of the water. Mm. Just got a horsefly on my leg there. And I understand that you're doing some kind of a project, is that right?
Yes, at school we're doing a project on the canal.
Right, and have you learnt a bit about the canal and why it's here?
Yeah.
Right. I have to go on into Mullingar now, so would you like to come with me? We'll cycle the last couple of miles into Mullingar together.
Okay.
Right, let's go then, will we? Those are great bikes you have. They travel a long way, I'd say. Okay, on you go. Well, this is the end of day two, so I'm coming into the centre of Mullingar and approaching the railway station here, where the canal towpath parallels the railway from Athlone. It's very strange being back on a hard tarmac surface, and even stranger being in among the traffic. Even odd to see a traffic light here when I've been on out in the wilds for the last 2 days. I'm going to consign my bike and gear to the safety of the railway station, and tomorrow morning take the train on along the next stretch, which overlooks the canal all the way into Dublin. And it's quite appropriate really that we should follow the railway line, because in the middle of the last century it was the railway company which bought up the canal, took it over, and basically took all the business in terms of passengers away from the canal, and brought about the decline of the canals as a commercial waterway. So I reckon, having had a long, hard day's cycle over a fairly rough country, it's about time now to go and find some place to stay for the night. Well, I've left my bike in the station in Mullingar, and before I find my lodgings for the night, I've decided to sample the flesh pots of Mullingar and to replenish some of the liquid which I've lost during the day. So I've come into one of the pubs here, and I've, in order to try and learn a bit more about the canal and the management of it, I've met with Pat Warner, who works for the Wildlife Service of the OPW. Pat, can you tell me a little bit more about the background to the surveys which I've seen going on today, involving botanists and fisheries scientists and so on? Perhaps you can tell me how these are organised and why.
It all stems really from a rather fortunate combination of responsibilities. The Office of Public Works is now what amounts to a government heritage department, and it includes the body responsible for the canals that took over from CIE. It involves the Wildlife Service, the Park Service, and the National Monument Service as well. And that means that when they started to organise the rehabilitation of the whole canal network, they had the opportunity and obviously the inclination to do a preliminary ecological survey of the canal to see what was there, a baseline if you like, and also to get ecologists' advice on how they should go about the engineering work that they're doing on the canals. There's some places, for instance, where you should leave one bank untouched. Some places where we leave both banks untouched by getting the dredging machinery out on a barge in the middle of it. Now, that's quite expensive, but nonetheless it's being done where the survey is indicating that the botany or the bird life on the canals demands it.
Are you happy that conservation can be built into the restoration of the canal from here on in?
Well, I think it most definitely will. As I said, we're all part of the same department. The canals people are directly in touch with their colleagues in the Wildlife Service. We've had to put some of the work out to contract, but still the work is being done, and it's going to be built into the management plans at every stage. This is the very beginning now. This is the first cleaning up of the canal that it's had in what, probably 25 or 30 years, and the survey's been done before that in most cases.
The Royal Canal was officially closed to navigation in 1961, but trade had ceased about 10 years before that, so that there are very few people around now who actually have personal experience and remember the active trade on this canal. One of those is Mr. Willie Leach, who lives at Thomastown Lock near Killucan.
We'd leave Thomastown, we'd say, at 7 o'clock in the morning. And our first stop would be about 2 miles beyond Enfield. That we'd stop for the night and stable our horses locally at that point. We'd start the following morning then at about 7 or maybe 6 o'clock. We'd arrive at Blakestown, 13 o'clock. That was another area where we
fixed stopping places that you
we had fixed always stopping stopped places.
Yeah. And these were for the horses to feed the horses with.
We had a stabling for the horses at that point as well. So the third day we arrived in Dublin, Summer Hill. It often happened out that we'd come back from Dublin, from the Cross Guns. We'd come up as far as the Cross Guns on the previous evening, and we'd start maybe at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning. We'd arrive here at Killucan, in the Killucan area, at about 12 or half past 12 on Saturday night.
Nice, so you're travelling all day.
Travelling all day. It was a long, busy day.
And you travelled at night as well?
Oh yeah, you travel in the dark. Like if it was necessary, you travelled in the dark, you know.
Yeah, and there was no problem about the horses on
the
dark.
There'd be no problem with the horses. No. The horses, as a matter of fact, they knew the canal as well as
I'd say so.
We did.
And you had to treat your horses well, I would imagine.
They had to be treated well, because if you wanted to get good results from them, you had to feed them well. And that was one thing that my father always believed in. And you carried hay and oats for the horses.
On the boat.
Yeah,
and food for yourselves.
And food for yourself as well. Yeah. You had your boat.
And you slept on the boat.
Well, you slept on the boat and done your cook and the lot.
So you're self-contained completely.
You're self-contained, that was it.
The canal is being restored at present, which is very exciting. Are you pleased to see the boats coming back on the water again here?
I'm delighted to see it coming back.
Can you see the day again when the canal will be opened right the way from Dublin to Longford?
I can. With the progress that has been made, I can say within the last 2 years now, It's not far away when we can see it open the whole ways. No. Mm. If they're able to continue, and if the money turns up for it, that's the whole thing.
Well, let's hope we all live to see the day when the Royal Canal is open to navigation.
Hopefully.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Start of day three, and the train from Sligo has just pulled into the station in Mullingar. I've decided to join the train here in Mullingar and travel east, because in many ways the railway is interlinked with the canal, not just geographically but also in its history. So I'm going to have a look at the canal as we travel alongside it from the train window. The train has just passed under MacNeads Bridge, which is a few miles from Kinnegad, and here the railway takes a turn to the northeast, and still following the canal, we've passed by the burnt-out pub of Mary Lynch, which was a lovely old traditional pub with timber interior, and was only burnt very recently, burnt to the ground. Here the canal begins a very rapid descent from its summit point, which is near Mullingar, down through an area known as the Flight of Stairs, where there are something like 8 locks in total in a distance of less than 2 miles. At this point the railway diverges from the canal for a short distance and takes a straight line across while the canal winds its way slowly through the bogs and across an area known as the Long Level in the direction of the River Boyne. This is an area which in the early years of the canal in the early 19th century was a place where a number of outrages took place, where there were serious attacks on the canal by local people. It seems that there are two possible reasons why this may have happened. One was that There was a fear that the canal was taking potatoes from the country into Dublin and possibly causing a scarcity of potatoes in the country. You have to remember that this was a time when the population of Ireland was double or treble its present size, and there was serious poverty and hardship and hunger in the country. But the other reason which has been suggested is that it may have been a way of creating employment for local people in repairing the canal. And there was some strong evidence of connection, links between the attackers, the gangs of attackers on the canal banks who caused breaches in the canal, and the drivers of the horses which towed the boats, because they were unionized and in what they were known then as combinations. But it was so serious that the government of the time had to send a full brigade of troopers down to actually guard the Boyne Aqueduct from attacks. The train is past McLaughlin's Bridge now, and here the railway, the canal, and the river Rywater all run in parallel in the same valley. We're approaching Kilcock, and as we do so, the smell which permeates through the window is that of the bubblegum factory, which dominates the aroma of town. Well, the train journey is coming near an end now, with the slowing down as we approach Maynooth, past the wall of St. Patrick's College, and around the corner with the canal into Maynooth Harbour. The station here is beautifully situated right beside Maynooth Harbour, looking across at the historic buildings of the college, which is now a university. Good. Ah, it's nice to be out in the sun again. And hopefully I'm going to meet a boat here. So let's have a look, see what's available. Hello. Good to see you. Great. Can I come on board?
You can, surely, yeah.
Yeah. I'm Richard Nairn. How are you?
Hiya, Richard. John McKeown.
Good to see you. Yeah, you're the engineer with the
Office of Public Works. That's yeah. Right.
And you're responsible for the Royal Canal.
For the Royal Canal. Yeah. That's right.
Right. So, are we ready to go?
We're ready to go, yeah. We get pushed off now.
Mullen Bridge.
It's one of the busiest bridges, I suppose, on this stretch, is it?
Yeah, it is, yes. There's plans, Kildare County Council plans to widen it as part of the new bypass, the Maynooth links to the bypass.
Yeah. Do you think that will that affect the canal in any way?
It won't affect the canal, we'll still have the navigation clearance.
Yeah.
It will be maintained.
But there are one or two other bridges which are going to need some fairly rigorous changing, aren't there?
That's right, yeah.
West of Mullingar.
West of Mullingar, there's a few bridges that have been culverted. That is, they've been the bridge has been in horizontal with no headroom at all for
just a pipe for the canal, more or less.
Just a pipe through to keep the water flowing westwards onto the Shannon.
Right, and it's your overall objective to join up with the Shannon. Is that right?
That is our overall objective. Would be as being phase three of our restoration project. Phase two has been completed.
How far has that gone?
That's from Blanchardstown to 12th Lock.
Well, John, we're getting close to the Pike Bridge alongside Carton Estate here.
That's right,
and,
yeah.
It's quite a nice stretch of canal. This is overhung by trees.
Well, well-shaded stretch as well.
Yeah. Has this area an interesting history? Is there much?
It has, yes. The canal was actually, the route was taken because it passed by the front entrance to Carton Estate, which was owned by the Duke of Leinster back in 1790. His main reason was to build a harbour here to export his goods from the estate, potatoes, barley, whatever was going to be exported. So we have a small harbour here on the other side of Pike Bridge.
And just coming under the bridge now, it's in very good condition.
Very good during
this age, isn't it?
Yes, surely, yeah.
Not doesn't require any pointing or anything.
No pointing at the moment, just a bit of ivy there would probably have to be taken off because it tends to eat into the lime mortar.
Right. And I gather there's some restoration work going on here, is that right?
Yeah, the restoration work has started now on the harbour area here at Carton. It's been done in conjunction with the Maynooth Group of the Royal Canal Amenity Group. The labour has been provided by FOSS under a social employment scheme. We in the Office of Public Works supply the technical expertise and also materials for the job. As you can see, a lot of the stones have become dislodged. These will have to be replaced, and they're large lumps of limestone which have to be manhandled.
Let's go in and have a closer
okay.
look, will we? I can see the JCB working away there.
Yeah, just levelling out some of the topsoil that was taken off to expose the stones in the first place.
Right. But it's certainly looking very well. I guess the Duke of Leinster would have been proud of it.
He would, surely, yeah. It's actually stood the times well as well for 200 years. The stones themselves, other than being dislodged, are still structurally sound.
John, we're approaching the 13th lock here, it's always interested me why locks are necessary on the canals.
Yeah, well, the locks are necessary to take you from, depending on what way you're travelling, they either to take you from a high level of water to a low level of water, or vice versa, from a low level of water to a high level of water.
Now the gate's closing behind us, and let's pull into the side here and tie up. Okay, we've got quite an audience today.
We have, surely, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the sunshine has brought the people out.
It has, and I think that. The whole business of opening and closing of locks is fascinating to many people.
It is, very much so.
It's like history coming alive, really.
They don't really understand the principle of the lock chamber itself.
Yeah, just coming under the D bridge now. This is another fine piece of masonry, isn't it?
It is,
very
good condition. Very much so. The pointing is very much intact.
Yeah.
We have actually completed some works on top where stonework itself was of a bad grade. Stone itself,
yeah.
for the parapet walls,
yeah.
There was a certain amount of slate content in the stone, and it tended to disintegrate.
Right, but for the canal itself, it's in very good condition, and it's really a symptom of how the restoration is progressing. It's very good to see that all of these works are now back in the state that they would have originally been perhaps 150 years ago.
150 years ago, yeah.
Thank you very much, John.
Thank you.
Dublin Cross Guns Bridge, the Royal Canal. Water rushing, roaring through the sluices. A man stood on his dropping barge between clamps of turf. On the towpath by the lock, a slack tethered horse. On the slow, weedy waterway, he had floated on his raft coastward over Ireland, drawn by a haulage rope past beds of reeds, over slime, mud-choked bottles, carrion dogs. Mullingar, Moy Valley, with turf from the Midland bogs. Bloom, comfortably ensconced in the coach, even contemplates making a walking tour by the canal banks to see his daughter in Mullingar. He knew his canals, did James Joyce, and I'm beginning to get to know the Royal. Here I am at Cross Guns Bridge, just over a mile from my destination at the River Liffey. And it's a beautiful evening, end of day three. And this is a beautiful stretch from the fifth lock back into the city. There's a lot of activity here. Plenty of people sunbathing, rush hour traffic, and lots of people enjoying themselves on the banks of this old waterway. What's the water like? Is it warm?
Yeah, we are swimming. John J. Rambo! Here, you be macaroni!
I don't want to get wet, thanks.
Oh, no, come on!
What's this
water
for?
Great.
How do I like swimming in the canal? It's absolutely shit because I cut my foot.
It's a great place in the summer evening, isn't it?
Yeah.
Beats any swimming bath, doesn't it? Where do you lot live?
Oh, we live in Glasnow. Going to the cemetery.
Do you come down here every night, do you?
Yeah.
Great swimming, I tell you, you cleaned it out, it's great. I'm from Ballymun as well. Don't mind glass now.
This is the best place, isn't it, in the city? The stretch from the crossroads, is it? Should have come down now, around
12 o'clock today.
Why? How many people were here?
There's say around 100.
Was there?
It's 150.
Skiving off.
Girls and all diving into the water.
A whole lot. Yeah. Well, I'll come back another day, but I'm just at the end of a long journey from County Longford down the canal. It's taken me 3 days to get here. Huh? And this is the last mile, so it's great to see people enjoying themselves in the canal.
Once the sun is out, they're all in the water.
Yeah. Do you know where the canal goes? Have you any idea where it finishes?
Just keep walking.
It goes right up. No, Cabri.
Yeah.
It goes right up.
After that?
Don't know after that.
English.
You can go out to, you get onto the Whitwood Road, you get onto the road up there, right?
Yeah.
Just cross the road and you're onto the canals again.
Any idea how long it's been here?
How long is it here, Colin?
108.
Is it? Right. Well, it's got
that's only a guess.
It's more than that.
What's the end of the news?
Yeah.
What news do you do? RTE?
We're going, we're heading for Dublin now, heading for the city. And that's the end of the journey, so... Well, here it is at last. I'm outside Galligan's pub on the Spencer Dock at the end of the Royal Canal, sampling some of the produce, which was among the main cargo carried on the canal in its later years. I have the sun on my back and the salt wind in my face, and it's a really good feeling to be looking out over the River Liffey, the end of a memorable journey, not just because of all the interesting people that I've met, but because of the varied landscapes from the wetland wilderness in County Longford to the concrete jungle here in Dublin City. This has been a time of great change for the canal. There's been more rapid progress in the last few years than at any other time in its 200-year history. It's a waterway which has known tragedy and death, scandal, bankruptcy, decline and decay. But perhaps the good times are only beginning for this troubled waterway, which has never really justified its own existence. Well, here's to the future of the Royal Canal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.